some of them. You're wasting all your time and money on models. Paint what you have.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Model Club TV, episode 92. As always, I'm Jason Walker. This is Scott Johansson, my lovely co-host. How are you, sir?
I'm lovely.
I thought you were going to say discombobulated.
I am discombobulated.
Why? What's wrong? Are you okay?
Do you need a hug? No, we had settled on a time tonight. I get home and I see a Zoom thing and I'm like, oh, shit. It's like, I have nothing ready. And
That's not very different than all the other times. So I don't know why this one is there.
I'm sorry. Did you hit the start live stream button?
We're not streaming today.
Oh, okay.
So for those, hey, your door's open. Is that normal? Is the dog got to go in?
It's discombobulated.
Okay.
It's discombobulated.
Right. I don't want your wife walking by in her underwear and then us having.
If she's walking by her underwear, she's going out the front door and she could stay there. Okay.
Oh, man. We're off to a start. Yes. Thank you, everybody, for sticking with us with the live stream in the beginning last episode. That problem will not happen again because now I know why it went wrong. And it was me.
It was not Scott's fault.
No, this was not Scott's
fault.
Being late.
Okay.
But Scott was late, which threw me off.
Okay, so in a roundabout way, you found a way to blame someone other than yourself.
No, it was my fault. So now that I've kind of been able to like break it down and figure out what happened, I'm going to take a picture right now. Ready? Wait, hang on. And then I'm going to post it into the episode because I didn't even think about doing this. Hang on. All right. I want people to see. You should have made a face. I want people to see what I'm actually looking at when I'm doing the show. So I have a screen here with a camera there. I have a tablet here that has a slideshow that I can read things off of that are like for notes. This screen over there has the slideshow that goes into that I can't mess with while we're going. And then there is also the button pushing machine right there.
See, you're overcomplicated.
No, I'm not. This has to happen. When we're live streaming, this screen has to add another window. So on this screen, there's a thing that says start streaming.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a picture of what I'm looking at.
Okay, go ahead.
And I want to take another picture of the problem. Okay, all right.
So on this screen, I press start streaming, which starts the stream. On the little YouTube window over here, I can see it shows our video of us talking and us moving and doing all that stuff. So it looks like it's actually streaming. Hold on. So go ahead.
Stop for 1 second. And I understand it looks like it. Okay.
I know.
Here was my issue. Okay. I was watching the live stream on my computer telling you there's nothing there.
I know. And so I'm reading the
all
chat.
All you would do is blame me, my computer.
No, I wasn't.
You need to reload.
No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't blaming your computer. I was. And then I'm seeing everybody in chat like, what's going on? Why isn't it starting? And I'm like, what is everyone talking about? I'm watching it go right there. And so I'm getting more frustrated and more frustrated. And then I finally look up in the corner. And there's a little thing that says start stream. And I'm like, oh, that's it. So it's basically it starts streams here. And then you basically have to lift the curtain over there. So now I know.
Look, you're the one that wanted to be the big time producer.
And there's learning. There's learning curves that happen.
Again, okay.
And speed bumps.
I was telling you it wasn't showing.
I know.
And rather than saying something must be wrong.
I did say something's wrong.
Like I was insane.
You
okay?
Well, I mean, well, come on.
All right. I want a public apology for the
I am sorry for screaming at you, but I never screamed at you. I just threatened to quit.
And then I wasn't allowed to joke the rest of the episode.
That's not true. That's not true. Anyway, we spent too much time on it. So anyway, thank you everyone that came out to the live stream. We're going to do more of those as we keep going. It makes things a lot easier when it works. And now I know how it's going to work. It'll be better.
Thanks to those that sent donations.
Yes. Thank you very much for all those super chats. Thanks for all of that money. I even got some money in the mail from somebody, which we'll talk about a little later, from that handwritten letter. And it's all going towards Scott's new camera, which everyone wants.
Did I get anything in the mail?
You did.
And where did that end up?
At your house. I brought it to you.
I don't think so.
We can talk about that later.
I think you just got something today, didn't you? So I'm going to ask
everybody,
you again.
Hold on. Like, subscribe. we have a Discord. Again, a Discord link will be down below. Redbubble, Teespring for dumb t-shirts. The email. Let's see if this works. Ready?
Oh, that'll be a fucking pleasant surprise.
The email, because I have to click up. The email is modelclubtv@gmail.com.
I'm wearing these because you're so bright.
Dang it. I should have brought it mine. Email is modelclubtv@gmail.com. The voicemail number is 708-816-4299. 708-816-4299.
Or if you want Jason's direct cell, it is... No, I'm just kidding.
Please, no. Too many people have that already, and it's not fun. What's new?
Nothing. I'm printing, and I have so much to cure. It's not even funny, as you saw when you were here the other day.
Scott has a giant table full of uncured things, which doesn't surprise me.
And the thing is, I de-sprued it all, or de-supported it all. And my fingers actually get numb on the tips from doing that, even though I'm using the hairdryer method. Which
and gloves?
Really...
Are you using gloves?
No, what kind of gloves should I be using? Just the rubber gloves?
Yeah. Because you're touching... Oh, my God.
It's already cured. It's just...
Okay.
So anyway, I got a lot of curing to do, and I got a lot of printing to do. And in between that, anyone that's seen Jesse's page the last few days, will see that we have Jesse up and printing finally. So,
yeah, I took some work off
you. Which is good, because that's going to take a little bit off of me. No, that's going to take a lot off of me, actually.
Yeah. We can get more into this in Workbench a little bit, but we've had... I've had printer issues left and right, but anyway,
you always have printer
issues. No, not like this. we have a giveaway this episode, which is what Scott was alluding to. So when we gave away some kits on the live stream, one of them was the kit from David Horvath, and it went to Brent Krug. And it was the Kolchak seated. And I knew there was some other stuff in that box. And so when I started going through and packing things up, I went and started looking through it. And I'm like, oh, that's just the extra stuff, the print and the other stuff that comes with the kit. And because David puts there's a Kolchak like nameplate and one of those plaques that he did in the box. So it's like, oh, it's just that stuff. So closed it up, sent it. A couple days later, get an email from Brent, text message. You forgot to take stuff out of the box. There's a package for you, a package for Scott, and one for a giveaway. So this has been to California and back, or no, they are in Kentucky now.
No, they're still California.
Oh, duh. I sent it there. I mailed it. Yeah. I'm like, what am I talking about?
So
that's how it's been going, guys. I can't get into some of the stuff that's been happening with my
first
life.
Of all, Big Daddy Dave. All right. When you send something extra in a box, you better let this knucklehead know.
He did. I'm pretty sure he told me.
Oh, okay.
But I just thought I already taken it out already. Anyway, I'm so dumb. So these nameplates.
So then I have mail there.
Yeah. Yes. I have something I have to bring. I have to go back to your house for a second time now.
Just keep it. Whatever he sent me can't be worth you visiting here.
Your dog loves me, though. Your dog loves me.
Yeah, but you don't love my dog.
That's I do love your dog. What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. Oh,
I had that dog on my lap, scratching its belly. But I did, yeah, the dog hair is not.
Okay. Here's the problem. Welcome. Wear something other than black. Love my dog. Love me. Love my dog. Okay? You're 40, what, 5 now? 48? What
did you say?
Okay?
Love me and love my dog. What?
The goth thing is over. Okay? Get some colors. No, get some love into your life.
Instead
of all this dreariness that you
there's
got.
There's no dreary. I'm as happy as can be. Anyway, giveaway. From Nostalgic Resin Productions. He gave us a bunch of lobby card name plaques. Okay? So, and I don't know how they're going to show up. We got...
I don't know. Why don't you just jam it into the screen?
I don't want to take it out of the plastic.
Well, if you just would hold still.
Dracula.
That's nice.
Okay, Dracula. We got... Everybody, I hope you're enjoying this. Bride of Frankenstein. Wait, there we go. Bride of Frankenstein. That's really nice, actually. I like how that turned out. Bride of Frankenstein. Another Dracula.
Oh, I really like that. We're not giving that away. I want.
Oh, you got one. You got a set of these. Coming.
Oh, okay.
Frankenstein.
Oh, spoil the surprise. Thanks.
Frankenstein. Okay. Phantom of the Opera, which I that's really nice. Phantom of the Opera. Well done. And... Frankenstein meets the Wolfman and Invisible Man Returns. So if you would like these plaques, these little lobby card things, they're great for nameplates. If you do have a kit floating around that doesn't have a nameplate, in the comments below, type Big Daddy Dave rules, Big Daddy Dave rules, and you get these from Nostalgic Resin Production. So, we'll pull names next episode.
Names or just a name?
Pull a name. Yeah, it's one person's getting all of them. Nostalgic Resin Productions. Head them out on Facebook. Info's right there. Phone number. All that stuff. And link will be down below. Thank you, Dave. Love you. You're the best. Scott.
Didn't we get something else, too?
Did we? Yeah, we're going to do that in emails.
Oh, okay.
That's an email. That's a mail. That's a mailbag thing. Okay. All right. News and reviews. Scott, are you ready, sir?
Your mom's a mailbag. Yeah, let's go. What?
So instead of the noise that you're supposed to make, you take a shot at my mother.
I ain't the first one. And I'm not going to be the last.
Make your noise. Make your noise. Okay, news and reviews. First up, it's a review. It is a review. And let me get to...
It's a new news review coming home to you. I'm a musical.
Web window. There we go. All right. I bought another light. Let me go back to us for a second. I know people make fun of me and the stuff that I buy, like paint constantly and dumb hobby tools. And a little while ago, I talked about, I got a light from Redgrass Games. That was a LED light for over my painting table here. I loved it. It was perfectly bright. It was fantastic. And I saw nothing wrong with it other than the price tag, which was, I think, $300. And it had two light bars like this. And they could rotate that way. And then I saw Game Envy, who is the company that makes the wet palettes that I highly recommend, had a new Kickstarter. And one of the things was this new hobby light. It's called Lucent. And it is similar. It's one bar.
Lucent. Something you're not.
I know.
Anyway, go ahead.
I know. And I was like, oh, crap. I just bought this other light. And so I went to Adepticon and Game Envy's there, and they had them there, so I was able to see it and try it out. And I bought one, and they were out of them, so they shipped it to me quickly. It came within a week, and I love it. I switched it out. Let me go to full screen. I don't want that one. I want this one. I swapped out my other one and moved that over to my building bench. But the way this light works is it's a light bar, and first of all, the price is only $85. So it pales in, like, price wise. I could not recommend the other light because of the price. Unless you're crazy dumb like me and just buy dumb things. Right? This, I think, is fantastic because it folds down into a size. Like, if you had to go to a friend's house and you're going to paint, or you want to use it to set up pictures on the other side of the room, or take it with you to take pictures somewhere, it folds up tiny. And I can kind of show you that here in a second. But this is what it looks like. It's got, let me go back to the main screen here. I'm going to pull it down so you can kind of see. It looks like this. Wait, there we go. It has a bar that goes across, and these rotate any way you want, like that. And then these rotate down too. So, like, if you want to take pictures, wait, I didn't mean to turn that on. So if you want to take pictures and, like, you need light underneath a little bit, this goes that way, or you need to go that way. So if you have a light tent set up to take photographs, those are great. Cause normally I have those big, like, octopus lights with like 10 bulbs. So I can change different directions and stuff. But
you
this
look like
thing,
you're doing a pull-up bar when you're doing that.
It does look. I haven't been able to do a pull-up since I was
100 pounds.
Yeah, probably. So, and it's got warm and cool. So you can kind of, like, you can adjust your lighting for the crappy Wonderfest lighting. And just look at it in different, but, and it rotates completely this way. So let me put some other pictures back up. Here's the specifications. It has a table clamp. You can turn it different ways. I highly, highly recommend this light. And if you talk to them, tell them you saw it here on the show. They won't get anything for it, but I want them to know when I call them that other people have mentioned us to them.
So here's my question.
Yes.
I do have a question. Now, I have a couple clamp on lights, you know, here and there. And the weak point for me in every clamp on light I've ever had is the clamp itself.
Yes.
So
clamp's
how
good.
Does this rate?
The clamp is good. It's
okay.
So I have it upside down than the way you normally have it. Because normally a clamp, because I'm hanging it from a shelf that's up there. Actually, I'm going to put a picture up on the screen so you can
see. A good idea, though.
See how I have it. There. So you can kind of see it, how it's on my table. I have it clamped on a shelf, kind of like different than you would normally have it. And I have it bent backwards so it fits here. The clamp is good. The clamp on the Redgrass one is good too. So I have no, the clamp works. It does not, it's cheaper than the other one, material wise, I think. But it feels solid. It wobbles a little bit if you shake it. But I think that's just because of the way it balances. But at Adepticon, they had these at every painting station where people were painting, and almost everybody who was painting live at a table was using this light right now. And for $85, you cannot go wrong with this light. Hold on. I'm gonna turn on both bars. Let me get back to full screen with us. I know people are probably like, why are you talking about a light for so long? But full brightness, it dims, all of it dims, and it's just touch controls. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not as bright as the Redgrass one, but the Redgrass one almost gets too bright. Let me pull this down. It almost gets too bright, and I don't even have the end bars on. So you kind of see.
That's what you'd call a Jason Walker light.
Yes.
Not as bright.
No. So that's yellow. I have the yellow, the tone, so you can go from cool. Can you see it change on me? There's your incandescent. And you can go in between all of that. So I really, really recommend this light. It's fantastic. Love it. Love it. So that's where we are. That's a review. This is the box it fits in. So if you're looking for it, it fits in this size box. It folds down.
So who makes it then? Lucent is the company.
So
that
it's
makes
made
it?
By Game Envy is the company. Lucent's the name of the light. So Game Envy is actually making it. Innovative painting hobby accessories. I'll put a link down below. I think I'm going to pick up a second one to put over where I take pictures instead of dragging out those big lights. So if you're in the market for a light, highly recommend. All right, up next. From Stepanov Sculpts. just saw this yesterday, today?
Today, I think I
it was
saw
today.
It.
Today, yeah. Elvira. And this is the same gentleman that did Lily Munster and did that Bride of Frankenstein sitting on the stool, the kind of pinup one. Mm-hmm. And I really think this is a good Elvira. So if you're interested, I know you can probably buy it individually if you're into printing. If you want it printed, you send it to somebody to get printed. There is a Patreon, Stepanov Sculpts. And I really, really like it. The likeness is pretty good. What do you think?
Yeah, the render looks good. So when you render, you know, to me, if you can render the sculpt into looking that good, and we'll talk about that in another piece we're going to see.
Yeah,
to me, the render is almost like putting a paint job on the sculpt.
Yeah.
And so if I had a complaint, it's like, all right, maybe just a little too much leg, but whatever. It's
that's know. With character, I think. That's in character.
But yeah, when it comes to her, yes, I agree.
I ended up with the other two because of Dicklick Art, which we can talk about in a minute. With Ina, they had a deal where if you were a Patreon with her, you got these for free, like in a Patreon swap kind of thing. So I'm waiting to see. Maybe they'll do this because I really don't want to sign up. But if I go back to this picture, he's got a ton of stuff, like ton of things that are, and mostly almost all female based, like almost entirely. But great stuff. Check him out. Stepanov Sculpts. He shares stuff on a lot of the pages. So check it out. Link will be below. Up next from Banshee Studios, Scott. Talk about this while I...
Yeah, so I put this up because of the paint job. Now, we've put this up before. And, of course, it's a movie I've never seen. Okay. And I did have a small hand in this kit in that I printed the gun for Jeff. Okay. So don't be fooled that Jeff sculpted that gun.
Yeah.
No. But, and the reason being, he didn't want to sculpt that gun. And you can't blame him. But anyway, so when I first saw this kit, again, I'm not familiar with the movie. I looked at the sculpt and it was like, okay, yeah, that's cool. I didn't know who it was.
Yeah.
Okay. And as soon as I saw this paint job today, I said, oh, Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, so it's like, so again, it just goes to show that with the right paint job, you know, sometimes a sculpt doesn't look like an actor until the paint is on it.
Yeah. Sense? I fully
agree.
I'm
not bashing Jeff at all. Okay.
No.
I'm
just saying I fully agree with you. The sculpture, I was like, wait, what's wrong? Something looked off for a minute. And then when the paint job happened, I'm like, oh, it's fine. Like, and I think it was just the lighting. And I don't think it was the sculpture at all. I think it was the lighting and the fact that it was black and white kind of flattened it a bit. And so I think this does it a million times better. Like, yes, really well done, Russ and Jeff.
All right. So this next picture, this is a sneak peek of the next Jaeger signature series piece.
I think I know what it is, right?
Well, I don't know, but I can tell you this. I've seen more of it, so there's more than just this.
Okay.
Okay. And when the time comes to share, we will share more, but this is...
I see a furry chin, I think, or something up there. I'm gonna go full screen on this because I figured out a way to do it. And I think we can still talk. Say something, Scott. Okay. All right, It works. So it's a little bigger so people can see the details. Awesome. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, cool. What I like is the necklace on this character.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing I want to know how Jeff sculpts that. So there's more to this kit. I'll tell you that.
Next in the signature series. And that's a Jaeger Army piece?
No, that's Paul Gill? Jeff Jaeger signature series piece.
Oh, just from straight... From Jeff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Paul does the casting, right?
Paul will be doing the molding and casting. So
cool.
But venture your guesses. I know you looked at something and said you saw what?
Looks like a little hairy chin or something up there.
Hairy chin, huh? Well, maybe it's a beard, huh?
Yeah, maybe. All right, from Well Winner.
Well Winner.
Scott, yes. I know you well. I know you well. You have no idea. You've never watched this show, did you?
No.
No, I didn't think so. So, high school-ish, junior high, I think, is when this was on TV for me. Maybe high school. I got to go back and look at the time. But I watched the shit out of this show as a kid. The Real Ghostbusters. And he's starting out with Winston. And it's dead on. Like, this is so flipping cool. Well, I'm glad. And I think back a while ago on his Patreon, people were able to make suggestions. And I think this was one of those. And, oh, man, it's so good. It's so good. Let me go full screen again. Like, so good. And if we go, you get the backpack. I like that the backpack is nice and simple like it is on the show. No extra wires. Easy to paint. Fits cartoon style. But to get all of those characters, like, this is going to go perfect. It's another well, like, take up a whole shelf kind of thing. Because if he goes full, like, crazy with all the characters from that show, man, could be really good. So well done. Well, that's, I love this. Love it. Love it.
So you love it?
I do.
Okay. I do. Good.
All right. Up next then from Well, you can handle this one.
This is a creepy coop.
And this poses some interesting questions to Mr. Jorgensen.
So this is, he's done the Antil mob in their car, and he's done the tank car. Forget the name of it. But anyway, so this is the next in that line. And one of the things you can't tell in this, and I should have put the picture up here. Maybe I'll give it to you and you can put it up. But, and again, this is where this kid is so creative. And it doesn't take away from, you know, it's not putting too much originality into it. But the treads on the tires are all bats.
Ha ha.
Okay.
So on the model kit, was that how it was?
Oh, no. The model kit was way, way simpler.
Okay.
And so there is a problem with this render, and because I'm such a diplomatic art director, I've already spoken to him about it. Okay. And this was part of my replacement parts that I'm sure you're going to say, well, what now about those?
That's what I am going to say. Yeah.
And
because what was that back from? I got to go back and look at what episode number you debuted your
whatever. And I'm
parts.
Still getting emails on it. And I'm sorry, everybody. It's, you know, if I wasn't printing and doing things for everybody else, I might get around to some of my own projects. But
you're like me. You got to learn to say this, no at some point.
I did art direct this a little bit because I had to explain to Well that the tail at the bottom, you only see when the dragon is not in the tower.
Okay.
Okay. And when the dragon's in the tower, you see a tail coming out of the back of the tower. Now, the interesting thing is it's a different tail. So the tail, when he's not shown in the tower, has a double fork like this one.
Okay.
The one when he's not is a single fork. Just a single, like.
Yeah.
Real thing. So, you know, being the jerk that I am, I did have to point that out to him. But
I'm sure all those parts are going to be removable, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if not, you'll have to cut them. But like, I got the car, and I got the Antil Mob car, and I didn't even look at it to see how it's sliced up to print, because it's crazy. But anyway, that's coming as well.
Okay.
From Well.
And then we
and
have
then this last one. Who is this? Now, I know he put it on his page.
Gabby Gator. Do you remember this? Elster. I don't. I'm trying. I know it looks familiar.
No.
But do you think it just blends into all the other alligator cartoons for me?
I'm going to have to look it up now while we're on here.
But another just like, and again, his renders.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gabby Gator. He appeared in several cartoons produced by Walter Lantz who also did Woody Woodpecker.
Oh, okay.
So he's appeared with Woody Woodpecker as well.
Yeah, that's why it looks, it has that Woody Woodpecker style.
Yeah.
Kind of the eyes and the eyebrows and stuff. Okay, that makes sense. Cool.
And Gabby was in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Cool.
He's only been in 12 cartoons.
Okay.
Actual cartoons, which is kind of funny because as popular as the Tasmanian Devil, okay, early on, I think there were only 4 Warner Brothers cartoons of the Tasmanian Devil.
Really? Yes. He was my favorite as a kid back then.
Yeah, and he was funny too because he, you know, he like talk sometimes, and it was. But yeah, now you've got me checking that, of course. Because...
Oh man, let's make more editing time.
Only 5 shorts before Warner Brothers cartoons shut down in 1964. Marketing and television appearances later propelled Taz to new popularity in the 90s.
He was only in 5.
Only in 5, yes.
Huh. Would have never thought that.
I knew. See, I told you. That was, yeah. So, okay.
All right. From Dick Blick Hart, Dick Hart, Dick, whatever it is, Ina, over on Patreon. She has an in-progress picture here of Creature from the Black Lagoon. And I think it's pretty good. By far the best creature available 3D print wise that I've seen. I can't think I've seen any other ones really.
I could pick it apart a little bit, but it's not bad.
It looks stylized in a bit. Like it's her own take.
But it's not done as
well. No, it's not done. So I want to say in progress.
Like the hands aren't done yet. Well, the right hand looks like it's done. The left hand isn't done.
Yeah, but on the shoulders you can see there's no scales on the shoulders yet. There's no scales on the calves, like down further
and
down.
The legs and stuff,
and she said, yeah, she's still working on it. But as far as like a 3D printable creature from the Black Lagoon, I think it's a winner. And it almost looks like an artist's take on the character. And it's like she did with the Frankenstein a little bit, changed it, domed the head a little bit. So I'm okay with that. I'm totally okay with that. Really cool piece. So I'll have this shortly, but I'm not able to sell her stuff. But she was totally cool with me giving some away. So I may print one and do it as a giveaway, as a promo for her here at some point. So I'll put a link down to her Patreon below and check it out. Let me go full screen so you can see it a little bigger. There we go. I really, really like that. So that's the creature. Then we have for Nostalgic Resin Productions and in progress, Scott, who's this?
This is my Hubba Hubba first girl crush ever.
Is it really?
Yes. Yeah.
So,
but not as Yvonne Craig, because Yvonne Craig always had like shorter hair and up.
Yeah.
But something about when she put this wig on and obviously in that Batgirl costume.
Dude, I have to fully agree. That
she was my first crush as a kid, like a Batgirl. Woo, woo, woo. Okay.
You know what? This is a good. Who was. Let's go full screen for a second, or to just us. In the comments below, who was your first, and it's for women too, who was your first crush as a kid? Like
TV star or whatever.
Yeah, TV, movie, like who was like, oh my God.
Now, I like Jeannie a lot too. Okay.
I have the weirdest one. I already talked about Cindy Brady, that's a different story. But as I got a little older... Like my first dream.
I got a little older, it turned out to be Greg.
No, like my first dream about a girl, like when I didn't really know what was going on yet, like how stuff worked. First naked dream about a girl.
Please tell me it wasn't your mom.
No, it wasn't my. That was probably your dream, right?
Still is.
Terry from Three's Company.
Now that was the one that replaced. Suzanne
it was the
Summer?
Third replacement. it wasn't. Who was the second one? I don't even remember. I'll have to ask upstairs. She'll know. Because it was Suzanne Summers. Then it was the other girl. Then Terry came on. Huh. But yeah. And then when she was in Mallrats with the third nipple, I was like, oh my God. This is amazing. It was the best.
Yvonne anyway, Craig as Batgirl was it for me.
So
it
was- I I totally agree. Cause I went back and like, I saw pictures recently and I was like, holy crap. How did I not pick up on that as a kid? Cause that chick's got a smoking body. Like amazing.
Well, she was in Elvis Presley movie.
Man.
She was the green girl in Star Trek.
Yeah. Cool.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. And you know, it's one of those regrets I have autograph wise.
Yeah.
I'm not a big autograph person.
Me either. Yeah. Okay.
And there's a couple though that I regret, and she is one of them. She was at Wonderfest.
I remember when she was there. Yep.
I don't pay for anybody's autograph. Okay. I just, I'm a cheap ass or whatever. I don't know. And I don't know why, but
would you pay for Shatner's?
For Shatner's, I'd blow you for Shatner's. Okay.
I wouldn't let you blow me for Shatner.
Yes, you would. But anyway, and I don't know why I was being a dick. I think what rubbed me wrong is, like, I had Ray Harryhausen sign a baseball, which I still have.
Yeah.
And the reason being is, it's an easy display.
Yeah.
Here's an autograph. On a round, you get a baseball case, you put it in, it's a little square, and here's an autograph. Okay. For a picture, you got to frame it, you got to put it on the wall.
Yeah.
So anyway, I had Ray sign a baseball. So when I kind of walked up to her table, I saw this various charges, and then she had a sign she will not sign any sports equipment. And I don't know why it rubbed me the wrong way. I must have been in a mood or whatever. And I'm like, well, screw her then. Okay. And
oh my God.
And then I ended up she stopped and talked to somebody I was with in the restaurant. She was really nice, and the person that was with her was really nice too. And I just never got there to get the autograph. And I don't know what year that was, but I never got another chance because then she passed away.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I always thought she had the most beautiful eyes.
Yeah. My other one, Caroline Monroe from Sinbad and all that. Oh, whew.
I have one that'll make you laugh, so I probably should.
Go, no, I want to laugh. Go ahead.
The Flying Nun. Okay, Sally Field. I...
No, wait, hold on. From The Flying Nun or from other stuff?
Well, I watched The Flying Nun. That's how I got acquainted with her. Okay.
Acquainted.
Yeah. No, you can't do that with a nun. No. She'll have none of that.
Yeah, you can.
Well, you can.
There's the one thing I always joke. We're way off topic. There's a Jamie watches Lifetime movies all the time. And there's one with a murderous psychopath woman that dresses up like a nun to hide in this Catholic school. And she's smoking hot in this nun outfit every time. So every time I walk in the room and she's watching Lifetime, I'm like, is this the one with the hot nun? And she's like, no, you idiot. Get out of here. Oh, man.
Anyway, so, I look forward to more of this.
Yeah, this is a great sneak peek. Great sneak peek. I mean, I love our full screen now. That's great. Woo.
Yeah, that only took you 2 years to figure out. Right after a watch stream. And check the whole box.
All right. Then, from IMCO, Irish American Model Company. What do we got, Scott?
So, Mike Calvert and Mark Worthling started this Irish American IMCO model company, and the first kit they're doing here, and we have a sketch of it, is it's a Pierce Karloff tribute, but in this particular one it's Pierce putting the mummy makeup on Karloff. And it's, you know, they're really going to dress this piece up. You know, they want it like right up there with the Janis Pierce Karloff kit, as far as quality. And I don't know if Jeff started it or not, but, you know, that's a sketch. You know, that's just a sketch that's right there. And as we see, over 25% have already been allocated. So
that's a good deal. There's not stuff. Even, and it's just a drawing. So fantastic.
Yeah. And then of course there's a card that's going to come with it and all the goodies that you're used to from Typhon.
Yeah.
Mike Calvert. I'm sure there's going to be goodies here too.
Awesome.
And sculpted by Jeff.
Can't wait to see it. That's going to be really cool.
So, and speaking of Pestilence, he posted this evening on his site. And so I'm just going to read this real quick.
All right.
Pestilence Labs is pleased to announce a new partnership with the International Institute of Remote Antiquities to bring something rare and unique to the community. Artifacts procured from exploratory expeditions in the 1800s have recently come to light, which are going to upend current historical understanding of a certain region. Provenance? God, don't use words I can't pronounce. Of artifacts and timelines of known history are now in question. Painstaking work is now being undertaken under extreme secrecy to reveal a new artifact to the general public. Watch this space for further details that will be made available when researchers agree that preparation is complete. Interestingly enough, today I got an email. I was forwarded an email that came, and geez, how am I going to read that?
Oh, welcome to my world.
That's all right. So this email came to me. That's all right. I'm going to go right in where I can read it. So just hold on. This email was sent to me as a, what would be the word? I guess an informant.
Oh.
And the informant was, I had to send that to you so you could put it in here. That's where it is. Okay. So anyway, this is an internal email from the IIRA research, .net from a Jay Denning. Okay. Subject: Project Melbourne. Research Associates. As you all know, the work of opening and carefully emptying the recently acquired crates of Rossi artifacts is yielding astonishing results. For now, we must continue to insist on strict confidentiality. That said, we have some spectacular opportunities in front of us to expand our research capabilities beyond what our current funding can possibly allow. Museums worldwide are making use of this new technology of 3D scanning and printing to share research data and distribute the heavy workload of specimen analysis and other investigation. We intend to adopt these practices now and going forward. We also feel the eventual sharing of data will help the Institute's outreach efforts and engage both academics and lay people alike. This is a tremendously exciting time for our work. In that spirit, I am pleased to announce that we have entered into a partnership with a somewhat ominously called Pestilence Labs. Boy, if they only knew. PL, as we call it, specializes in high-quality resin reproductions of pop culture sculpture with a special focus on film memorabilia and characters. We feel their unique ability to capture the finest details and their specialized and enthusiastic customer base, no mention of me and the ideas I give them, make them the perfect fit for the eventual release of the data from this project. You will be meeting with the PL staff, Pestilence Lab staff, on a regular basis. Please welcome them to the project and trust they will give the greatest care to the rare and delicate artifacts we are currently cleaning and preparing. At the completion of the initial research phase, Pestilence Labs will begin our distributed research phase, the details of which are still being finalized. This is a very exciting time for us all. Julia Denning, Project Producer, IIRA. P.S. Though the timeline is still hazy, we can now definitively say that these crates are from the ill-fated 1887 French expedition of Messers Goulier and Bonfrey as recovered by Sir Reginald Hornsteward in 1889. We have some wonderful correspondence and even images from that time that we will be sharing soon. So I might have an in on some of this, but I'm interested to see what everyone else thinks.
I like this sort of viral, to take us out of the, for a minute, yes. I like the viral marketing campaign aspect to this. This is very cool.
So.
Very cool.
I don't know what's going on. We'll see.
Drop those little nuggets along the way. This is cool.
So.
Very cool. I'm interested. I kind of.
That's how you read an email. So,
son of a bitch.
Anyway, speaking of PL or Pessoen's Labs, I see you have another little slide up here.
Oh, I just wanted to show, this was to remind us that we had Pessoen's Labs stuff to talk about, and I left it in there. But as I was sitting in the slideshow, I'm going to rag on Mark for a second. Look at these amazing Photoshop skills. I'm cutting
out.
Did
he send you this or did you?
No, I just pulled it. This is on their Facebook group page of their banner. This is the banner of the Facebook group page.
Yeah. He's got all these talented people.
I know. And he's got this.
It looks like somebody cut out everything and pasted it on a people.
I don't know. It's like a little kid went through a catalog and just cut out pictures and glue sticked them on. And then they didn't even remove the color in the middle of the P, L, and the S. There, it's still white. Well done, whoever the amazing Photoshop.
I hope Shanna did it and she beat your ass.
I know, because you know what? That's why I use Canva now, because it does all of that for you. It's all like AI based, like Photoshop, and I don't have to learn how to do any of this stuff. But as I was sitting here waiting for you to come on, I'm like, this picture is hilarious. It looks like a kid in third grade did it with their iPad or something. And it probably did. So, Shanna, I'm sorry.
Well, I don't know that Shanna did. I'm just saying.
My money's on Mark.
Okay.
All right. Anyway.
I hope she looked.
Workbench. I just took a picture. I wanted everyone to kind of see where I moved my light and how the other light is working over here. So, there's my workbench right now.
Why is your Saturn that way?
So, that's because that's the new Saturn. And it only fits right there with the other two Saturns behind it.
So you can't turn it.
I'm out of room. I can't. That's the only place it would fit. So that's why it's like that. That's my workbench. And that's I moved that Redgrass Games light over there. And you can see
where's the Jupiter?
The Jupiter is to the left. You can see the corner of it.
Yes, I can.
Okay. So, but you can see those Mask of the Red Death kits there that we're going to talk about here in a few minutes. So, other than that, for workbench, everything's gone sideways for me, and I'm just not happy about it. Screens broke, waiting for things to come in the mail. I did, however, I started printing some small things that I'm going to try and have. I talked about this a couple weeks ago, about what one of the things I was going to have at Wonderfest for sale. And I did a test print. It's three of the Terminator busts. I'll probably sell them individually. But I have 1/9 scale, 1/6 scale, and 1/4 scale. If this Jupiter doesn't get fixed by then, I will not have 1/4 scale ones. So one comes with glasses. One comes battle damaged. Get right in there. Come on, focus. Battle damaged. It's a good likeness, too. Battle damage, and then a straight-up just regular Arnold. So CA, these are from CA3D. I do have the rights to sell these. They are now, like I said before, every full figure they're doing, they're releasing a bust from it. So I just got a ton more busts today. So I think I might just print a bunch of busts, price them cheaply, and just... These are great. What I love about these, great practice pieces. Like, if you just want to practice flesh tones, or lighting effects, easy, real easy to do, small, will be cheap, and we'll go from there. You got anything for workbench other than, it's become a joke, and I feel like I've turned into you. I've painted nothing in what feels like forever, and it's really getting on my nerves.
I am printing for a few people and starting to fall a little behind, so I'm a little concerned. And
Wonderfest is coming. It's almost
yes. Two. And I got a wedding coming, so I got all kinds of shit going on, you know. Have we talked about what else is going on in my life?
No.
Did we ever talk about that?
No.
So yeah, on top of everything we're dealing with here, we're dealing with my 30-year-old stepdaughter was diagnosed with breast cancer last September, was it? October?
Yep.
And so we've been dealing with getting her to chemotherapy and stuff, and the outlook is good. But it's just one more thing on the plate.
You know? And that's, you know, the most important thing, really.
You know, and you've known about it since the get.
And we have purposely not brought it up on the show because we weren't sure how things are, you know, are going. And
yeah. And but anyway, we're so she's moving along. I think she's got a couple chemo treatments left and then surgery and then radiation possibly. So you know, we still got a long road ahead of us, and there are a few people that knew and a few people have been really supportive. You know, so on top of that, and printing for everyone else, and I've also become a printing teacher, apparently. And so I have Mr. Worthlin going. And anyone that follows Mr. Garcia has seen that Mr. Garcia is printing too, which is actually great because he's one of the people who wanted me to print a lot of stuff for Wonderfest. And I don't know if I could have got to everything he needs. So the fact that he's printing is fantastic. Doing a great job. He's had a couple failures and a couple, you know.
Yeah.
But and that's to be all go through.
That's to be expected.
So my favorite thing is, and it happened with both Mark and him. So first happened to Mark when he starts printing. And as soon as he starts printing, I said to him, I said, "Hey Mark, you took the film off the build plate, didn't you?" He goes, "No, there was a film on the build plate." And I'm like, "Crap." Okay. So he was able to get it up. But the problem was then on his first print, he had to do a tank clean because it had exploded.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happens with Jesse? The same thing. And I looked at him, I go, "Hey, was there a protective film on that build plate?" He goes, "Oh, I don't know." And he has two of the same machines. He goes, "Let me check the other one." He goes, "Yeah, nowhere in the directions did it say to remove this." And I was like, "Yeah, that's elegant for you." So he also had to take that off, do a tank clean, which is good because they need how to learn to do a tank clean when they have a film.
Right, yes. Yep.
And so, and then Jesse's doing real good. He had something where he was doing a tank clean and a piece fell in his resin, and he knew to drain his tank and strain his resin to get that piece out. So he did that on his own without me telling him, and that's cool.
Awesome.
I got to make him a comb.
That's my other thing. My Ender's, like, I switched out to a silent board and the firmware's all jacked up. So I have half of my printers are working right now. But the anyway, one cool thing did happen since the last live stream is I kind of got a model club going at school, a little one. And that's how I'm planning on starting. So there's a D&D club. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to print a bunch of miniatures and just start bringing them to school. And like, if kids are in my, I'm like, "Hey, do you want to paint something?" And just, so I printed, I built, this is what I spent my time on. I printed out a giant, like a paint rack to bring in the little, like these kind of paints. So the kids can just walk up, grab what they need. And I started doing this as I made, like, I'm just going to make a bunch, make a box. So kids just pull something out and go, "Oh, I want to paint that." And just sit there and paint during lunch. So I've had now two kids sitting there painting, which is awesome. And the one kid's like, "Oh, this is so relaxing." I'm like, "Oh, just wait." It'll get worse. But yeah. It was great to see. And they're enjoying it. So it was
them throwing clay up on the ceiling.
Right. And, yes.
You know, against the wall when you're not looking. Who did that?
I know. Yeah. So I think like this next year, I'm going to try and push to do it again after school. Like I tried a few years back and just do it and like, and just have the stuff there. If kids want to do it, great. They don't, whatever.
Well, so there's no way, because I understand you have a certain curriculum you have to follow, but there's no way you can make painting figures any kind of.
No, not really. It has to stick to like fine art stuff that's in the curriculum. Yeah. There's a way, like maybe, but I want it to not do that. Like I want it to just be fun and not be a grade and just like come hang out, get used to like, it just makes it like, it was cool to see. So the time that I spent could have been painting my own stuff. Cause I was painting with them. I got to show the kid how to use speed paints. And it's when I get I'm going to have to get him to take a picture. I had him do an owl bear and I taught him how to use the speed paints and I did the Zenithal priming for him. And for kids, if you're trying to get kids into doing this, speed paints or contrast paints are perfect because you can get fantastic results with not knowing how to do anything. It's just a coat of paint and the way it dries over that white and black primer, it looks beautiful. And so he did this owl bear and it looked fantastic for someone who was like the second thing he ever painted. And all I had to do was like paint this color, this, this, and this. And he's like, okay. And it worked. And it was really cool. So I'm going to do more of that. And it ate my time and I was happy that it did because it worked out really well. So that's where we are. Our guest this episode is John Schneider, FX man and sculptor. Sculptor mainly, right? He reached out to me because he sculpted the Mask of the Red Death kit from all those years ago. So someone sent him a link to the unboxing video I did of it. And he was like, oh my God, I want to tell my side of the story on this kit, which was he sculpted it in 24 hours for a case of beer and some other stuff. So
about a case and a half, by the sounds of it.
A case, yeah, probably. So it was a great short little interview. We're going to have him back as things go, like he'll talk more stuff. We got a little hint at the background of some special effects and how that industry works and movies he's worked on and like how he got started and all that kind of stuff. So great little interview here with John Schneider. Check it out. All right. We are back with John Schneider, sculptor.
Hi, everyone.
Special effects guy. How are you, sir?
I am doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, I think. it's been a day. It's been a day.
One of those. Huh?
Yeah, one of those. You reached out to me because you sculpted something I made a video about and have talked about on the show quite often. And what was that you had sculpted?
I had originally sculpted. It was called Mask of the Red Death for Action Kits International, and I kind of snickered because it's hard to pronounce his name, Mike Vredevoog.
And it is very hard. Okay, good.
You know, but I always call him Vredevoogen.
Try to spell it.
No, exactly. So he's Lebanese. So
okay.
I don't know if that makes a difference, but spelling wise, I'm like going, I didn't know how to pronounce it until I met him.
So let's start there. Where'd you grow up? How did you get involved in garage kits in the beginning, way back when? And let's just do a little history.
All right. Well, I grew up in Papaw, Michigan. And got my start. What was that?
My parents always wanted to buy a cottage, and we would always go to Pawpaw, Michigan, to look for a cottage on a lake to try and move.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. Cool.
No, but I originally got started in special effects when I was very young. Actually, at age 15, I did my first commercial. My mom had to take me to set because I wasn't old enough. They bought crap when they found out how old I was. They went, 15? What? And I go, well, you hired me. So they go, hey, we like your moxie. All right, cool. So, I worked at I'm sorry if I don't look at the camera, but
oh, no, it's okay.
I'm just trying to think. I worked at a magic shop called Timid Rabbit. And I started there when I was 15, and then did the commercials, and then wanted to move to Hollywood. So moved to Hollywood. And did my stint out there for 3 years and worked on, you know, different movies. And then hooked up with, hopefully everybody knows who he is, Dick Smith. He was a famous makeup artist.
Yeah.
So when I was 14, I called him. originally. And then he set me up with all these different numbers, but he always remembered me before he passed away because he moved down to Florida. But when I would call him, he goes, John Schneider from Pawpaw, Michigan. I always loved that because he remembered Pawpaw, but I said, they're known for wine country.
Yeah.
So St. Julian's. But I wish I was sitting down. Sorry, guys. But I may have to move in the other room, if that's okay.
Oh, it's all good.
I think I will. No, I basically did that stint. The reason I wanted to get in special effects was they shot a movie in Kalamazoo, Michigan with Richard Pryor called Blue Collar when I was six. And my dad was an electrician at Checker Motor Corporation where they shot the movie. And he brought the special effects guy home who did the pyrotechnics. So we got involved with, right from the get-go. He sat in his lap and we kept in contact for years. And then he sent me his blaster's handbook before he retired. And I just was into art, basically all my life. I had two aunts that were art teachers. And then, after coming back from California, lo and behold, opened a company up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, called Image Effects. And then that's when Mike walked through the door for the garage kit end of it, if you will.
Okay.
And it was originally, he came to me because he had a kit that Randy Bowen had done, Toxic Avenger.
Yes, I have one of those.
Do you?
Yeah, in a box somewhere. I have it.
All right. I'm going to move forward here a little bit. Sorry. I'm going to prop this. Hopefully it doesn't slide out. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, that's better. Yep.
All right. So the thing that we had done with him, he just came in and he goes, I have a kit. I feel so bad because I can't remember the guy's name that originally sculpted the Dark Shadows. Ben Cross.
Uh-huh.
Model kit.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember his name. I'm thinking it was like Doug or something, but he brought the kit to us and it was sculpted out of, which I hated, the original Sculpey, the white doughy. So the kit had no detail, basically. The form was there. And I said, I love it. And he goes, now make it detailed and pretty.
About what year? What year do you recall this being?
Oh, when I came back from there, I'm trying to think. Well, I already had met him. I came back probably 91 or 92.
Okay.
And somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
Because I had come back from California and, hooked up with my partner, Doug, at the time. And like I said, let's do, special effects in Michigan, which failed miserably because nobody wanted to come to Michigan. So, yeah, so we sculpted that kit and or retooled it, I should say. And he loved it so much. I didn't have anywhere to stay at the time because I just had moved back really from, except from California. And he goes, well, move in with me and we'll make a deal. He goes, I want you to sculpt this Mask of the Red Death kit. And he goes, you guys are so fast. He was, mainly talking to me. I mean, Doug was a great sculptor too, but I was known for being fast. And he said, sculpt this kit. And I said, okay, buy me a case of beer and a bunch of clean clay. That's what I sculpted out of.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of sculpt, because it's so easy to sculpt. And
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. Bruce Turner was the original sculptor.
Bruce.
Right? Okay. Is that right?
You nailed it.
Okay.
I feel so bad, but he just goes, here's this guy's kit, change it. I'm going, I don't like messing with other people's, sculpts, like they did to me on Red Death. That we'll find out soon. But, I think I started at 11 o'clock at night and got me a case of Bud Light. And by 11 o'clock the next day, morning, or by noon, everything was rough game. Standing on the stairs and everything.
Okay.
And he goes, holy shit, dude. I took the bet. And then I lost the pitcher long ago. But, that's what everybody going, you did not do that. I did. I just sat there with a laser disc because we didn't have, actual good photos. So he set up a laser disc with a TV, and I just kept pausing and pausing. And, you know, when I walk down, I go, "Ooh, I like that." So that's basically where that stemmed from. And then when I watched your show, I'm going, "God, that dates me. I feel old now." But you're going, "Oh my God, I was waiting for this kit," and I'm going, "Like, oh my God!" But I never had seen that face, that David Fisher. It changed when you said, "Well, that looks like a wonkety garage kit style," and I have the original head.
Yeah,
my garage. But yeah, he hired him to change it.
And so you told me on the phone the other day you didn't know that they changed the head.
No.
When? Wow. Okay.
No. But he sent me kits later, but I never opened them because the boxes were always crappy. Oh,
you're like Scott.
But I finally opened them, and everything was still in the package because I still have. I'll put it this way: 2.5.
Okay.
Red Death. Because the boxes just, you know, just got destroyed from water damage and, you know, mice eating everything, except the packaging was beautiful.
Yeah.
And then I got some of the original cold cast because the one you pulled out, the mold had so many, you know, chunky marks from the mold deterioration.
Yeah.
When there was cracks in it, mine were like pristine.
Okay.
So like I said, I had 2.5 of those. Because I say half because of the cold and dropping the box on one of them. Cold cast doesn't stand up very well.
No, it doesn't.
So,
could you go into the, do you know why he chose cold cast? Why did they end up going that route instead of regular resin?
Well, when we started out, I created a rotocast machine for him because we were actually producing the kits, me and my partner.
Okay.
And everybody, you know, said, "Oh, go with cold cast. It's all the rage right now." And when I first seen it, I'm going, "Oh my God, I just left it white. I loved it," because we did the spin cast with the white metal, and I just glued one together and just left it, you know, as is.
Yeah.
But, originally we were doing out of a urethane called Alumilite from, that was back in Kalamazoo, Michigan. I knew the owner of Alumilite.
I was casting back then a little bit, and they sent me a sample. And what I didn't like about the Alumilite was it got so much hotter than the other resins I was using.
The degradation on the silicone molds.
Yeah.
You could burn up the molds.
Yeah. It heated up bad. Yeah.
Yeah. It was way, way too hot. But the stuff I use now is mainly smooth on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what basically the norm is now. Because they have a lot of great products. So for, the past 20 some years I've been, you know, using smooth on products, but Alumilite I first used out in California and poured into a few silicone molds of General Electric silicone. I don't even know if they make that anymore, but that just,
I started out using Dow Corning. I think it was 3110 and 3112.
No, that is one of the ones I was using too. That was a Dow Corning. They had a GE brand, but they're basically the same.
Yeah. And then, did you use Vagabond resin ever out there in California?
Yes. Vagabond, yes, but no, you can keep it. Sorry. No.
That guy was always running away from the EPA. His name was Conrad, and he was always changing addresses because he was running.
What was the stinky brown resin?
That was the Vagabond that I know.
Is that Vagabond?
Yeah, but Vagabond did change and go to a more smooth on type.
Yeah, but
at one point, the early on stuff was
pretty bad. No, that was the problem with it. It stunk so bad, and it was gummy, and it was hard to work with. So yeah, I tried it like maybe twice, and then I said, you know, and then I tried some. It was called Sin Air. I don't even know if they're still around, but Sin Air Plastics.
I've heard of Sin Air.
But they're rubber and stuff. Then for the longest time, I went with silicone wise, like GI 1000. And from the SI brand, Silicones Inc.
So how do you mold a kit that's sculpted in clean clay? Because clean clay, you don't bake it, right?
It's very soft, but no, I would just build up layers of, some of it, like the hat and the face, I used Super Sculpt.
Okay.
So that I could, you know, press it on, take it off, bake it. Mm-hmm. But I did basically a trash mold.
Okay, so like a brush up, basically.
Do a quick brush up, okay. And then pour in some tooling resin, gray metal filled tooling resin, and then just go back and sand and buff. But
because I used to use clean clay to clay up my parts, so that's why I used to use clean clay to clay up.
Oh no, I know. I know that's what parts. I use. Yeah. That's what I use today. But no, I just because of the speed,
right,
of sculpting. Because mm-hmm. otherwise, I would have done it in, like wet clay. But I don't like that because it's water based, and then you know. So I just went with tried and true because I said I can go back and retool the edges and clean it up, and you know, then the way I broke it down, you know, a lot of people, you know, had liked that. But like I said, when I seen the whoever Mike had producing them, leaving all the flashing on and the bubbles and the stuff, they go, oh no, people clean that up, and I'm going, no. I said I want them clean. When we sent them out, we would sand.
Yeah, back then, nobody was like, oh, they'll clean it up. That's Scott. Scott says that to me all the time on some of his stuff. He's like, oh, they can sand that. It's fine.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean,
that's
like, the beauty of the kit.
Like, I always cut off sprues and stuff.
Yeah.
There's still guys that'll send kits out with the pore sprues in them, like an inch hanging out of them.
Oh, no. I've definitely seen it. Well, when he showed the underside, I think they remolded it because I didn't leave it that nasty. You know, I had it so that you could slip the
They must have, because the two that I have, one feels cold cast and the other one feels more regular resin-ish that has more like bubbles in it. But yeah, it's, I want to give a shout out real quick. I'm showing pictures that I found online of a painted one, and it's painted by Tim Casey. So Tim, I hope you're okay with us showing your work. I'm going to put a link for everyone to go and check out your museum of all your stuff that you got. But Tim Casey's paint job in this is really, really good. So just so everybody knows.
Good. Yeah, one thing that I noticed, I looked up a kit for that, not Master of the Red Death, the Dark Shadows, that somebody was selling on eBay, and the original head that I sculpted, the head is not the original. It's like somebody took a mold and tried sculpting their own. It's close, but I looked at it and went, no. I said, I sculpted that, so I'm going, no, that's not the real deal. So I just want to throw that out.
Yeah. Oh man, did he say why he needed it so fast? Why he wanted it done in a day?
No, it was just something I wanted to do. It was a bet.
Oh, it's a bet. Okay.
Because he goes, no, take your time. I said, no. I said you wanted to see how fast I could sculpt, so that's how it all stemmed. So, and I only drank through that course. I only had 18 beers. So, and I put on my headphones and Oingo Boingo.
Oh, there you go. Nice.
Some ACDC and sculpted. And then, but yeah, like the snake staff, I just had stuff sitting next to me and I took one of my brushes, my paintbrush, that snapped off the bristles and then wrapped the snake around it that's holding the skull. So, but I didn't want to go cheesy, but I was going off what the Laserdisc was.
And there aren't, you know, even when I Google online to look for pictures of it, there aren't many pictures just available, like stills of that.
No, and that's why he was looking, I have a Laserdisc.
Yeah.
And the only colorized portion of Phantom of the Opera was Mask of the Red Death. So like I said, he dragged his big TV in and set it up and just kept going, pushing the button going, okay, where's the profile? There is no profile. So that's why it was basically, I chose the last step. Cause like when you were looking through the box and it goes up here. And then it should click in when it hits the base.
It did.
And then it finally set in place. But
yeah. Oh, man. I thank you for reaching out. This is really cool to hear the story on this.
Yeah.
So after all of this, did you sculpt anything else for Garage Kits or did you just?
Oh, no. Well, I think I'd explain that a little bit to you. I sculpted, it was a X-Acto knife holder. I never met the guy personally, you know, before I sculpted it. It was an X-Acto knife holder, but it was Terry Webb. And it was, I think I made like six of them. And I handed it to him. He goes, that looks nothing like me. And everybody else is like, what? One hand was like this, so you put the X-Acto knife in it. And the other had his thumb up. And we went to, I think it was I went to two shows, Chicago and
Resin Heads.
Resin Heads, Chicago and New Jersey.
Okay.
Those are the only two shows I was ever at. That's where I met Geometric Design, the guys there. We all sat down. And I'm just trying to think, Mike McHill. I'm trying to remember names, but it's been a while. It's been a while.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But no, the other one that was he had me sculpt was the Caracol movie production of Universal Soldier. That's what it was. With Dolph Lundgren and I think Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah.
And we sculpted. I sculpted bodies. Bodies came out beautiful. He loved it. But we had a bitch of a time. I kept mailing the head because he was in England at the time for Dolph Lundgren. And he goes, I don't approve this. I look like Herman Munster. And the picture, I only had two pictures to work off of because he had a licensed.
Yeah.
And this was like what pictures Caracol sent because the movie wasn't released yet. So he was trying to jump on it. And he goes, I look like Herman Munster. And I go, dude, you look like Herman Munster. I mean,
it kind of does.
What do you want? So I never knew after that if the kit went anywhere because I gave up after the third time.
Yeah.
Making the changes he wanted. So, but as far as, actual model kit industry, that was the last thing I ever did.
That was it. Okay.
Yeah.
So do you have any idea whatever happened to Mike?
No, we lost touch after he had two boys, and then we moved, me and my wife, my daughter, we moved to North Carolina. I believe he still, lives in Grand Rapids. But, Action Kits International. So I don't know if he still produces kits or not. So.
Yeah, because the last I saw him,
he
had a table full of these things. And I want to say he was blowing them out at, $20 a piece, $30
a piece? Yeah, and it was like 19, what, 90?
He made a lot of them.
Late 90s.
Yeah.
And he just wanted rid of them. At that point, I think he just wanted out.
Yep.
And so he had a table, and that's all he had. And by the end of the show, they were all gone. And it was like, because for $20 at that point, everyone was like, fuck, for $20? Fuck, yeah, I'll take it for $20.
Oh, no, for the cost of producing them. Because I was making holocast versions. And then when he came to me and he goes, here's the new porcelain one. But the head wasn't changed at that point. So it's like they did the head a little farther down the line because there should be some originals out there. They have my original Phantom sculpture because the mask, when I did it, the metal one after it was cast, should like kind of snap on.
Okay.
It's no loosey goosey, but now it looks like he's all withered away and I don't like it. But
so anyone who's watching this and you have this kit, pull out the parts and look at the head and send me some pictures and let's see if we can find an original head and we'll show it on the show.
Because I have one in resin.
Okay.
That's out in my garage. I got to dig it out. And I have.
Yeah, if you ever come across it, email me the picture and I'll share it with everybody. Yeah. That would be cool to see. Oh man. I want to talk about special effects here a little bit.
Yeah.
You're how old for everyone to know?
I'll how be old 55. Are,
year. 50, so, okay. So you're about 5 years older than me, a little bit younger than Scott. But you're living the dream that I had in high school. Like I wanted to go into special effects, which kind of led into the model kits and painting things. And I want to get your opinion on this. Cause it's something that really bugs me to this day is I went down to Joe Blasco to like check out the school. And I think I've told this story on the show before. And when in high school, I went to community college for a year. I'm like, I want to do special effects. So I went down to Joe Blasco and a couple of friends of mine had gone like 2 weeks prior to check out the school. And the vice president of the school takes you on a tour and he's like, and I didn't know I was on audition. Like it felt like I was on an audition, but he told them the same bullshit story that he told me like 2 weeks later. And so I already knew this guy was lying to me. And I was like, I want it out. I'm like, I want nothing to do with this. Like I just had this feeling like special effects, it's Hollywood. And I'm sure you can agree to this, is you have to go and sell yourself constantly. And it's the thing that I've always been terrible at. And it's what kind of kept me from pursuing that career.
Well,
this is where I want you to tell me if I'm wrong. Back when you first got into special effects, you started your own company. You've done a lot of really cool stuff that I'm going to show here in a minute. Nowadays, though, when Face Off came on TV and people were doing that, and there's so many other like just opportunities along with the internet and yeah. how to learn how to do stuff. Like, just take YouTube by itself. Like, the things you could learn to do. Like, back then, it was all word of mouth. It was all reading books. It wasn't like how it is today. So if you could just kind of compare and contrast, because you're still working doing this, how it's changed over the years and how, like, that sort of thing.
Yeah, huge, because, well, like I said, it was getting phone numbers. It was mainly, I just called up Dick Smith one day, and he was totally approachable. And then, like I told you, he goes, how old are you? And I said, Pawpaw, Michigan. And he goes, I always remember you, Pawpaw, Michigan. But he had his course. It was like $2,500 at the time.
And that's the one thing I noticed. Like, everything was so expensive for someone in high school or someone. Yeah. I was like, I can't afford it. Like, how am I going to get that kind of cash?
Yeah. But no, I would just pick his brain.
Yeah.
And then he goes, here, call Tom Savini, which I got a story about that. But when I'm starting out, and I said, I'm in Pawpaw, Michigan. And I said, no, I got the bug, like I said, from the special effects guy. And he helped me out when I went out to California. Doing the pyro stuff, because that's what I started out doing, you know, really involved in doing, you know, bullet hits and blowing stuff up.
Yeah. So,
right up your alley, Jason.
It is up my alley.
everybody loved doing that. But now there was I think there was like a couple books. There was like a 3D theater makeup. I'm trying to think, Tom Savini's makeup book.
Yeah, Tom Savini's book was really big back then.
Yeah. So, but Dick Smith had his own little book, how to making up his kids with like wax off of cheese.
Yeah, I remember that. Yes. Yeah.
And stuff like that. So I would just call him up and say, well, how do I do this? And I didn't have to take his course because he would answer my questions.
That's where I think you and I are different. I would never have the balls to have done that. And wish I had that gene that said just ask, just talk. Like, oh, yeah. So that's great. That's so cool.
Well, my wife laughed at me one time because after 9/11, I had a concept that I'm still trying to get off the ground of two firefighters. That's what I wanted for the monument. Was one is bronze that he's holding his helmet looking down, and another one is behind him in clear resin. This full size with his hand on his shoulder, called In Spirit.
Yeah.
So it's like his buddy that has fallen, you know, kind of thing. But I called the White House. And she goes, you did what? And I go, but they work for us.
Yeah.
So yeah, I called dispatch at White House. And I go, who do I call about doing the monument stuff? So they put me, but she's going, so I had White House on my phone. But no, I mean, it's like, come on. It's like, you don't know unless you ask.
And I wish I would, like, if I could go back and tell myself something, it would be that. You don't know unless you ask.
I dropped out of high school when I was 17 because I got hired to do a movie. And I went to my mom, and I already knew how to weld. And I grew up with my dad's buddies that, you know, built all the taxi cabs at Checker Motors. So on the weekends, Pig Roast or whatever, they would come over and they'd go, John, here's how to weld. Here's how to paint. Here's how to, you know, spray a car. Here, I'm going, cool. And I could barely have the helmet on my head.
Yeah.
Because I was like six and seven. So I'm going, all right, I'll learn. Just sit back and listen to the old guys. And God, I'm getting off track here. No, but
no, you're not. I like this kind of thing. Keep going.
No, but because my principal said you're never going to amount to anything because your grades are really bad, blah, blah, blah. And I go, I have all A's in art and shop. And, you know, this and that, but he goes, you're not going to go anywhere. And I said, Mom, I have an offer to work on a movie. So can I drop out of school and go work on the movie or finish school? I can finish school later. And she goes, well, you're off to California. So they
What a great mom.
My uncle who lived in California.
So. What a great mom. There's not many moms out there that would have said, sure, do that.
But I was always sculpting up in my room. I wish I still had pictures of everything I was sculpting and stuff like that. And my dad, he goes, you're one of the most talented kids I know. How come you don't want to be an electrician like me? I go, I want to be an artist like me. So
yeah.
So no, I yep. That's
I asked a kid
put
today,
him in the truck and he moved to Beverly.
Exactly. No, but anyway, to get back to that, no, just starting out there, it was just asking questions, and Dick Smith gave me, I don't think they're around anymore. Oh, my God. They were a big mask manufacturer out in L.A., made all the rubber masks.
Don Post?
Don Post.
Yep.
And I got his phone number from Dick Smith, Don Jr. Yeah. So when I was out in California, I sat down and met with him, and he gave me all these names. He goes, you never got them from me. For Rick Baker, for, you know. So I just went shop and shop when I was 17 and going, I want to try to get in the effects business. And so I met everybody on my list because I made a list before I went out there. I said, I want to be in special effects when I grow, when I get older. So I want to meet Rick Baker. I want to meet, you know, Kevin Yeager. I want to meet all these different people. The only one I was supposed to meet, it was going to be like in a week, was Jim Henson, but he ended up dying because he chose not to go to the hospital. And I seen that on the news when I was out in L.A. because I went, I'm supposed to go meet him. And then he was not Scientologist, but where he said, God will treat me. I don't need to go to the doctor or take medicine.
Christian Science.
Christian Scientist. Yep. But then he was the only one on my list that I didn't meet. I made a goal list and I stuck with it. So.
That's really good advice.
And now it's flooded.
Yeah.
With everything in today's technology, there's to me too much. There's too many silicones to choose from. No, I mean, I like a variety, but you know, if I'm doing a silicone appliance, this guy says, well, this is the best way. And no, this is the best way. Whatever works, it's not the best way. Yeah. It's just whatever works for you.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, they're trying to push, you know, and join us. And they went to Blasco and created their own school. And then now there's how many schools?
Right.
And, you know, it's like, so from then to now, I'm glad I went the way I went because there was only a certain core people that you dealt with. Now there's around the world, hundreds, you know, of different companies that you can go with. So I like it better when it was just me going, oh, fuck, that resin didn't set up. Shit, it spilled all over my rug in my bedroom. Or when my mom got pissed and I put foam latex in the oven and then cupcakes taste like freaking ammonia or, you know, piss. Or she goes, why did you do that to my oven? I go, sorry.
So I have this picture here that I'm going to let everyone see. And it's a naked man's torso laying like this.
Yes.
And you've done quite a few. And is it a werewolf looking costume with the big ears?
Yeah, the big ears. Yeah, that was for a movie that we did when I was working for Robert Kurtzman. Okay. Crestline, Ohio here. Because I'm in Shelby now, but Crestline's like, I don't know, 10 miles away from here. It was called Late Phases. And it's about geriatric werewolves. It's basically old folks home, but they're all werewolves. So there's that one. And then the naked body one should be, if he's laying on his back, that was Stephen King. That was for, Netflix. It was called Gerald's Game. Stephen King.
Okay.
And on that one, we just took a body cast and did the silicone. But my favorite part that I did on that one was, I love doing replica animals. So there should be a German Shepherd head that was in there. That's the German Shepherd.
That's what I want to show right now, too, because it's leading to a point that I want to talk. There it is.
Because, I had
punching hair.
I had a week and a half. I laid that up, and, most of that was, I just sculpted the base head. I took a wolf form to save time and just hogged it down, and then just went and made it look like, the German Shepherd, because it had to match a dog. It had to make soft teeth so it could actually bite the real actor. But, that was just a hand puppet that was basically eating him. And just laying the hair. It's just one of those things that I just love to do, poking.
So that's what I was like. Do you enjoy poking the hair, like punching the hair in and getting?
Oh, no. Well, to an extent, but it sucks. I mean, I'd rather poke it than doing, tying hair. There's some people who just sit there and tie hair to make beards or the wefting. Ventilating. But I'm going, I said, you can keep that shit. I said, I'll buy the pre-made or have somebody else do it. But no, poking the hair. Just around the nose area and around the eyes. The rest is all just laid.
Just laying it in.
On stretch fabric.
How long did it take to do the dog, like hair wise?
I had, oh, I only had, because a week and a half to do the sculpt to the finish where I had to be on set. So it took me a couple of days to sculpt the head, make a mold, and then make a silicone nose and silicone eye sockets for it. And then make the hollow head base. Yeah. And then make the aluminum jaw and everything so it can open and close. Doing the hair, I think it was still a little wet from the glue when I put it in the box to ship it down to North Carolina where they were shooting. But it took me about, I don't know, three and a half days, probably hair-wise.
Okay.
That's the rest was all time and making molds for the, like I said, the eyelids and getting everything situated. So.
And then you have Tusk? You worked on Tusk?
Yes, with Kevin Smith, yes.
Okay. Because Brian, our other host here on the other show we do, he is a huge Kevin Smith fan. And Tusk is on my list to watch. I have not seen it yet. He's making me watch it here shortly.
But it's different.
Yeah.
when they said we're working with Justin Long, they sent us a head cast of Justin Long, who's a star in it, and Bob Kurtzman from K&B, the K and K&B effects.
Yeah.
He opened a shop in Crestline, Ohio, called Creature Corps. Robert Kurtzman's Creature Corps. And that's when, I moved from North Carolina when I was down there. And then I was at his shop foreman for probably 5 years, 5 or 6. But when he goes, Kevin Smith wants to do a movie. And I go, okay. I said, that's a Bob, Silent Ted and Bob. Didn't know when I first met him. I'm like, hey, like your stuff. And I'm going, but I really never watched it. I'm sorry. but going, okay, the guy's going to be turned into a walrus. I go, what the? And I know Kevin smokes a lot of weed. He has his own product line.
Yeah.
Of weed. We did Tusk, and then we did one that's called Yoga Hosers. And then after Yoga Hosers, that's when he had his heart attack. And before he was,
Yeah, he almost, that was bad.
He was quite heavy. And when we worked on Tusk, but then after he had his heart attack, how thin, I didn't recognize
him. Yeah.
But no, Tusk was a treat. But like I said, when it's a dark comedy, I guess you would call it.
Because
why would somebody want to surgically transform somebody into a walrus? or the Yoga Hosers one. So that was different.
After a human centipede, there's nothing that surprises me that anybody does ever. Okay.
Yeah, right. But like I said, with the Mystery Science Theater, when I was in Minnesota, me and my buddy started a company called Gizmos.
Okay.
And then we hooked up with, I forget who, one of the producers that we worked with did a lot of commercials for Target and made a lot of different, puppets and replica animals. But they came to us and they go, there's these guys that are from, it's called Mystery Science Theater 3000. And they want his ape mask. And I said, sure. So I met with him and I did like some really nice, to me it was anyway, kick-ass monkey sculptures, if you will, or ape sculptures. And they go, no. We want cheese. So they go with like the classic look, the Chambers did, for Planet of the Apes. And I went, really? So I mean, they paid for it, but I'm just one. But this, no, that's not what we're going for. So if you ever watch the episodes with Bobo and Peanut,
okay,
those were fun. But yeah, I mean, that whole production was, probably in my upper floor of my house there was just a little thing in the corner, and I mean, it was just all thrown together. But they made it big, and then we ended up working on their movie that they actually put out years later. Because I was surprised they actually made a movie off it.
Yeah. How, what are you working on now? Like, what's going on now?
Right now, my back's been messed up for 2 years, so I've just been out of the game. I was thinking about calling up producers again and trying to, just like, if anything, get back into, I really like doing the replica animals.
Yeah.
Or the replica bodies instead of doing, the prosthetics or animatronics anymore. because that's too much tooling that's involved. But right now, I think it's in my daughter's, you know, link for her artwork, but there's one that's on there. It's called, she called it Bubblegum Bitch. And it's kind of like a Japanese anime where she's got a pink wig on. So I'm working on a sculpture right now that's, I don't know, probably eighth scale. Trying to make a three-dimensional painting with her, because I want to, try to work sculptures into her painting so that there's a hand coming out or, just different unique stuff. So she's, game on that. So we're getting ready to order a bunch of stuff, and that'd be fun to, throw you guys' way if you're interested.
For sure.
I'm going to document doing, because she has all these different characters that she does on her little web show that she has.
Okay.
She wants to be made up as an old person, a black guy. So, we just got our new catalog. I said, I haven't done that in forever, but I said, yeah, let's do it. So,
that's awesome.
Headcast of her and start doing, different sculptures of what she wants for the different characters, because she wants to play all the characters.
Gotcha. Okay.
So she's going to be, the Jewish guy, the black guy, Asian, woman. So,
yeah.
So she's way into that. So that's what, that intrigued me. I said, that sounds fun. But, other than that, like I said, I really haven't, ventured out much because, my back, I got a pinched sciatic nerve.
Ah.
And that doesn't aid in working.
No.
So that's why I have to sit or stand only for a limited amount of time.
Gotcha.
Before it starts hurting. So.
So you seem to do everything, what I'll say, traditionally.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's so much being done digitally now. Have you thought about taking that plunge and learning any of that software?
I think some of it, but I think there's still a market for doing the traditional, because I always loved about Jurassic Park, because nobody ever seen. I said, have you ever seen a dinosaur? But when they mixed digital with the real puppets that Stan Winston did, that was beautiful. But like when you see Jumanji, the people seeing real animals are going, that doesn't look like a monkey. You know what I mean? The animals didn't look right, but no, technology now is beautiful. Yeah, because my daughter and I were just talking about that with the AI stuff. Because she hand paints everything with oils. And now everybody is an artist because they can just push a button and go, look what I did, Mom. I took your face and stretched it and turned it into a work of art. And there was just something we were watching where somebody sold an AI painting for like $500,000. My daughter about shit. Just on the computer. And it was nothing. It was like a guy made out of smoke rings. That they sold Christie's.
Right. Well, and I was talking more in terms of like the sculpting and the 3D rendering.
Oh, no, just part, the 3D modeling and stuff. I dabbled in it, but no, I want the clay under the nails. And, if we do, a 3D rendering, for visual purposes to see where I'm going with it. Yeah, I'll play with that. Mm-hmm. I still like drawing, the stuff, Yeah, because I was playing around with that the sculpt and digital sculpt, and I'm going push. I'm going no. I'm pushing around. I'm not feeling it. Yeah. I said I got to have it under my fingernails. I got to vacuum it out of the carpet, get it out of my hair. And no, I much prefer the
smell
hand.
It, smell it stuff. When you put your hand to your face. You want to smell the clay. And
Which I miss, but I'm glad I don't use any more sulfur-based clay because that affects silicone appliances. Mm. So the stuff I use now is basically Chavant clay and clean clay, but Chavant changed it. I forget what. I just
a lot of people are using Monster clay these days.
Yeah, no, that's what Monster clay. And I one of my buddies, well, when you were mentioning about Face Off, three of the people I work with at the Bob's shop, Al Tuskus, Dave Greathouse, and Becky Ingram, they were on Face Off.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted me to go on it, and I said no. The reason I'm not, because no, they own you.
Yeah.
And they pay you $300 a week. And I go, I'm not going to take off work for $300 a week just to be on a TV show. I go, nobody's going to remember me
right
after the show, because they have so many people
right
doing it. I'm going, I don't know. I said, no, I know how the Hollywood shit works. They edit and make it seem like you're an asshole when you're a nice person, but that's what they want. They want the drama. Yes. So,
yes. Javonte is Contour Clay now. Is that right? Contour?
I'm sorry?
Javonte Clay is Javonte Contour Clay. Is that sound right?
Sulfur oh, no. Theirs was the NSP that I always used.
Okay.
Non-sulfurated plastiline. But Al, who was, he was friends, I forget, I think his name's Arnie, that owns Monster Makers. I think he gave him, I can't say this to be true, but I would always take Chavant, the MSP hard, and add what you call Prills, beeswax, and melt it with that. So it was a softer consistency that I liked. And he told him about this, Arnie, and lo and behold, their new Monster Clay has a nice quality stretch. And I'm just like, he did. He goes, yeah, I told him the recipe. I'm going, son of a bitch. Anywho, but now everybody's out there and can use it. But yeah, the new hard Monster Clay is what I used to make from Siobhan Clay and melt my own in a turkey cooker. And just melt it down and make my own blocks.
I would put the clay I was using was in not the pressure cooker. What are those? Slow cookers. I would put them in there.
Yeah. Well, I did that, but I trashed so many of those because it would get hot and burn.
Yeah.
So that's what the water bath inside the turkey, the big turkey beater, or the slow cooker for the turkey, but pour water bath on it, and then it wouldn't melt, or it wouldn't burn.
Yeah.
So that's cool. That's what I use now. So.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for reaching out to me about this. Great to have finally met you and get some background on this. This is really cool.
Awesome. Now, like I say, there's more stories.
Yes, we'll be in touch.
It's past my bedtime.
Go hang in there. Take care of that back.
And all right.
Thanks to the wife and the daughter.
Thanks for coming on.
For getting it set up.
No, not a problem. I said, we'd love to talk to you again.
Yeah, for sure, man. Take care.
All right.
We'll see.
All right, take care, John. Thanks.
All right, you too. Bye.
Scott, what'd you think? Thanks, John. Thanks, John, for coming on. Yeah, that was cool.
It was good. And if it didn't look like I was paying attention, because when they were talking, I was looking at the photos, and there were a few things when we talked about it. I was looking up to see, you know.
Yeah. Because Scott had just, like, things went a little bit sideways, and Scott was just seeing it for the first time. So,
yeah.
It was, like, I really liked seeing his work. And to see that he worked on Tusk, I know Brian Clark's going to be excited because he loves that, loves his Kevin Smith. And
Brian Clark is Tusk. Okay.
Brian,
I was worried Brian Clark recently, he was having a little dental issue. He had an impact in Tusk that had to be removed.
Oh, did he really? I didn't even know that.
I'm being funny. Oh, okay.
So, Christ. John, thank you so much for reaching out. Thanks for coming on. He has no computer. Like, he had no, so we had to do it on phone. We got it working. But seriously, thanks for reaching out. I loved it. Thanks for making a cool kit way back when. I'd love to see that Terry Webb X-Acto knife holder he talked about. If he has one of those laying around, I'd love to see that.
And if anyone has one of the kits with the original head, yeah. I'd like to see that too.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Okay, up next, emails, voicemails, and corrections.
Corrections.
So our first thing, and this is going to go a little weird. Hold on. I'm going to read you the email first. I'll try and do it as eloquently as Scott did.
Good luck with that.
Hi, Jason. I just want to let you know I watched the live show over the weekend. I thought it was good. I know you have to work out some problems, but an ongoing show should be pretty good. Sorry to say, I'm probably going to miss out on the live broadcast because of my schedule, but I will check them later. So always, everybody, if you missed an episode, you got to go to the live tab. If I haven't re-edited it and put it up, it's under the live tab if we did a live episode. On the live show, I heard you say that you may make an inventory of your models, which is what I was talking about, and you have already done that. Do you know that you can easily do it on the website ScaleMates? I have all of my models and model equipment and model supplies inventoried on there. It doesn't cost anything. It has almost every model, and if the model isn't listed, you can add it to the site. A lot of the resin models are already there. You should at least check it out sometime. Could you do me a favor and ask Scott if there is a model of the 1968 show Go Go Gophers If there is, who makes it and is it available? I'd like to get that kit. Another great show. Keep them coming. Ken Kulinski. Ken Quill. So is there Go Go Gators? Gophers. I got Gator on the
Go 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 Gators, that's for sure.
Go Go Gophers.
There's not a Go Go Gophers yet. I'm sure someone will do one eventually. Let me tell you something. Okay, just I'm going to warn everybody before you go looking. It's the most politically incorrect cartoon in the world. Okay. It's funny as hell. And we used to have a guy at work that talked real fast. And so I used to call him the one go-go gopher because the one gopher, it was like the gophers were Indians. And they were always trying to get on the base. Yeah, it's kind of a, I'm sorry, Native Americans, whatever. So it's kind of like the premise of a lot of these cartoons back in the day is that the antagonist, or the cartoon character, Yogi Bear was always trying to get the picnic basket. Breezily and Sneasley were always sneaking out of the military bay. You know, there was always something going on. So the Go-Go Gophers were always like there was a cavalry, you know, that would go after them. And so they were very, they were gophers. They were very stereotypical in that. So the one gopher, he would talk, he would go, and then the, like the cavalry captain or whatever, you know, what did he say? And then the other gopher would go, him a say, blah, 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 blah. You know, he'd say what he said, but he's the only one that could understand him, you know? And this other one, he'd go nuts. He'd be, waving his arms and shit. It's, look, you're not going to be offended. It's hilarious, but
if there you're are easily no, offended, do not watch Go Go Gophers.
Well, if you're easily offended, you probably shouldn't be watching us.
Yeah, either. You wouldn't be watching this anyway. So, all right. So I'm going to try and do this kind of live. So if this goes sideways, here we are. So I'm going to pull up ScaleMates. And let me get this worked out. Hang on. I'm on the site, and I'm going to do this live over here. Scott, let's test out what Ken said. Are there resin garage kits on here? So can you think of one, and I'm going to search it and see if it's there. Don't you pre-search. Tell me.
How about let's do a search for resin from the grave. Let's see what pops up.
Zero. All right. Let's think of a character from Resin and from the Grave. Maybe it's not listed by...
All right. Try King Kong. Let's see what pops up.
King Kong. All right, so here we go. There is... what is this? The first one that popped up is a plastic Revell... Terrible? Terravile? Terrible? Maybe it's an Asian and they spelled it wrong? Terrible? That sounded racist, but... I don't know what that is. Anyway, let's try something else. Nope, here we go.
Ah,
we
well there, wait.
What do you got? We got a bunch of...
Oh, it was the Mountain Gorilla re-released as King Kong.
I got... Oh, here we go. King Kong. Thronester. King Kong Thronester. Polar Lights. King Kong Resin. The other Polar Lights King Kong. Mecha Kong from Doctor Who's. Atlantis King Kong. The Dark Horse. A lot are on here. All right. There are a ton of King Kong models. So let's try one more. Give me a Janus.
Hold.
Give me a
Janus. Whoa.
What? What? What?
Whoa.
What?
I know it. Pestilence Labs? Kong girlfriend makes it on there?
Oh, there it is. Let's look at the facts. Kong. Let's look at the facts. Does it say idea inspired from Scott Johansson? No, it does not. Designed for, and then it gives you.
You know what's funny though is right under that is the Kong's altar add-on piece that Rick Evans did.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and then it has designed for the aftermarket set is designed for, and it shows you all the parts it will fit in. That's cool. All right, give me one more.
still stuck on the fact that Moohead Kong isn't on here.
Well, you gotta also add it. Go in there and add it.
I'm not adding nothing.
I will. I will.
Let's see. How about...
Give me a jam. Hey, look, right down here. I don't know if you can see it. When I clicked on that, one of the thumbnails also you might like, new releases, movies. It's got Stannard's shark. The Bruce the Shark is there.
I want to talk to you about that.
Okay.
Let's How'd that go more. For you? Sending that back. Did you break it?
No, it went well. They said it arrived perfectly. All right, give me a Janus. Give me something.
Yeah, let's go. Janus Dracula.
Here we go. There. So I really, the only thing, so I'm comparing this to Discogs, which is what I was talking about, where you can add your vinyl record collection and it gives you a, maybe I just got to tool around with the site. Maybe like, I wonder if it gives you a, like an estimate of what your collection's worth. It gives you a price.
I think you'd have to put the price in.
Cause I don't see like someone saying, oh, maybe you have to log in. Marketplace. So here we go. And it's not currently for sale in the marketplace area. Dude, thank you, Ken, for sending this in. Cause I'm going to.
No, this is a nice database, but
yeah.
Like Janus Dracula, there should be the vinyl. There should be, you know, then that should piggyback into the bride. But again, it's, we're in a hobby that.
And you can add it if it's not there, which is good.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Thanks, Ken. All right, I gotta switch back to one thing. WebB properties, gotta select the slideshow. Okay.
Wow, a lot of Creature from the Black Lagoon stuff.
All right. All right. All right, up next. We got two things from Chuck Homolka this time. The first one is, I bought this for a future vehicle build that can be displayed at Wonderfest. So it is a Kaiju emergency response team decal sheet. So it's out there. He didn't say where he got it. But some cool decals. I think you could just make your own decals if you want. But I think you could probably buy it somewhere. Chuck, let me know where it came from. That's pretty cool.
It's cool.
I like that. Okay. Then
Chuck also sent us some goodies.
Yes. So we got an actual thing in the mail from Chuck. It was packaged. It was sandwiched in some cardboard. And I haven't responded to Chuck to say that I even got it yet. Because I wanted it to be a surprise on the show. So it says, it's the handwritten letter. Just something for your cars so people will know you are headed to Wonderfest. Chuck. And I have not opened what's in this. I dropped Scott's off at his house. So go ahead and open it. Let's see what's in there.
So mine has nothing to do with Wonderfest.
Oh, okay. I don't think Scott's going to let me put this on his car. It is. Can you read that? Hold on. You shall not pass.
That's pretty funny.
With a Gandalf wizard. Gandalf on there. That's awesome. What'd you get?
I got.
King Kong original. That's a good sticker.
That's a good sticker.
Maybe I'll put this up somehow in Scott's window on a piece of plastic and I can take it down and save it. I kind of want to put it. Oh, it's one of those.
Yeah, because
windows.
That's going to be so intimidating in the minivan.
It will. Chuck, thank you. Chuck. You're the best, man. Thank you, sir. That's awesome. All right. Speaking of other handwritten letters.
I thought you were going to say speaking of other handies and we're going to talk about your mom, but okay.
Oh, man. All right. From Mike Zizek. Now. Cursive. An entire page of cursive.
Have fun with that.
So the main reason he sent this is he sent us a donation he didn't want YT to get any money So he sent us a nice monetary amount that's going to go towards a camera. So thank you so much, Mike. So
thanks, Mike.
Now, Jason and Scott, I'm going to do my best. I read through this twice on my own.
You think you would have typed it? Maybe you should get one of those.
No, but I was like, I haven't received a handwritten cursive letter in like, since a girlfriend broke up with me probably a long time ago. All right. Thank you both for what you do for the modeling community. I have said it before, but it means a lot to me personally. But it is also important for the modeling family that gets smaller each year. I have never met the people that you have done tribute to, but I can tell you they were really good people. Thank you for introducing me to them. On that note, what about doing a spotlight on sculptors or painters who didn't come on the show, or even email questions to someone for them to just answer? There are a lot of people out there who are great artists, even from the likes of Cam Boggs or Jerry Fraid. Stick with us, because that's been on my list for a while. I did not make a live stream donation because I wanted you to get the full amount. Please accept this as a small token of my heartfelt appreciation. Scott, I would like to buy you a shaker of salt and a six pack of Coke. Jason, I would like to buy you a drink of your choice. Yes. I can't believe you have that right there. Whatever is left can go towards that new camera for Scott. You have talked about that for 6 years. Not 6 years, for 2 years. Sorry. You have talked about that for 2 years.
I was gonna say, did he write 6 years?
I read six backwards. So it looks like a two, but it looks like a backward six, and my dyslexia brain took over and turned it into a six.
I'm glad you were gonna nail this one.
Yep. I will not be at Wonderfest this year. So how about recording videos of Greg Nicotero and Tom Davis? Do it gorilla style in a hallway like Model Citizen used to do. Happy modeling, Mike Zizek. So yes to all that. I do want to start doing, like I said this before, some modeling spotlights and have people on. If we can't get them to come on the show, I think it's a great idea. Just send them some questions, talk about their build. I reached out to somebody who did an amazing build up of one of Pestilence Labs kits that was just shown recently. They're going to be coming on the show and they're going to walk us through their build up. And I want to do that more. And like when Scott finds something on his Aurora Collectors page and is like, that's freaking cool, and we show the picture, maybe just have that person come on and walk through their build and just have that as a guest. Like, I think that would be great. So we're going to do more of that. Thank you, Mike, for sending everything. Really, really appreciate it. We have two voicemails, and I think they're from the same person, pretending to be different people. So okay. The first one here, is Allison.
So I can play him.
All right,
so.
This is Allison AI is the first one. Same one as always.
This is Allison AI for YouTube. Your latest live stream has failed expectations of YouTube. Therefore, we will make you suffer, Jason Walker, by locking you in a dark room for one night with polka music. That will break you and your spirit forever. Good day.
Allison AI, I'm Polish. I don't think that's gonna be a problem.
I was just gonna say that.
That will be a good time. Give me some beer, some sausage. I'll be good.
Of course, when Jason reads Polish, it's Polish because he's dyslexic. Whatever.
Right. So every time I write Polish down, I think it's wrong because I want to say Polish. What's the difference? I hate English.
Polish, because you're Polish. We'll go slower from now on.
That's racist. All right. Now this one, I'm pretty sure it's the same person. So this came last night. We are recording on the 10th. This came last night. And I got a notification on my phone. So for people that don't know, the Google voicemail system transcribes everything and then you can listen to it. So I got a notification and it shows up, the first sentence of the voicemail shows up, and it's always nowhere near what the actual voicemail says. So I was in a different state of mind last night. Let's just say that. And I was tired and a little bit. So there was something involved. So all I read is, actually, I'm going to play the voicemail first and then we'll go back to this. So let's play the voicemail and then I'll read some of the transcript of the voice. Here we go.
This is Sarah. I know you can't sleep very well, Jason, so I have a song for you. Say your prayers, little one. Don't forget my son, to include everyone. I talk to him, warm within, keep you free from sin, till the Sandman comes.
I'm going to pause it there for 1 second because of copyright.
Sleep with one eye open, gripping your pillow tight. Exit night, enter night. We're off to never, never land. Something's wrong. Shut night. Heavy thought tonight. And they're not knowing why. Dreams of war. Dreams of fires. Dreams of dragon fire. And all things that will bite. Yeah. Flaming brimstone in your hand. Now you have to live with a sense in your dreams and well at hand. Sleep well, Jason, as the demons knock at your door, and they will stay there forevermore.
Okay.
Goodbye.
There was something else involved there, too.
I know. So all I see is this transcript, and it says, do you see Sierra? As in, like, Sierra Nevada mountains. Says, do you see Sierra? I know you can't sleep very well, Jason, so I have a prayer. And that's all I read, and I'm like, fuck this, I'm going to bed. I couldn't even get past that. I was like, what? And it was really, it was almost 1 a.m. I couldn't sleep. I don't sleep very well anymore. And I'm like, what the crap is this?
So see, they were trying to help. And then you ignore.
So the Google transcript, part of this, it says, they will, Jason, as the demons not get your door. Instead of knock at your door, there's always these little word swaps. And there's so much, even when Tucky calls in. Tucky, where you been?
Yeah, where is Tucky?
Where you been, Tucky? It always translates to something completely of, like, he didn't say any of it. So it's just funnier to me sometimes to read the translates from Google. Anyway, that's the show, everybody. I hope you had a good time. Scott, any parting thoughts?
No.
Okay. We'll see you next time, everybody. Oh, there's a good gallery. Stick around. Thank you, John Schneider. Oh! Next episode is the last episode that you can turn in your Wonderfest promo videos. I'll put that in the description down below. If you're going to get us a Wonderfest promo video, it has to come in before the 30th because we want to show them on May 15th show. And then Scott Lockabille, he sent in a list of hobby stores for Louisville, so we're going to have that on that show too. So if you're going to the area, you'll be able to go.
Hey, what? I forgot something.
What'd you forget? All right, real quick, we forgot something. We're editing this back in after the show, so Scott, take it away while I put the pictures up.
Dave Conover, who is part of the Wonderfest staff, apparently went into the hotel and took some photos of the new bar.
And we're not sure. It looks like there's more than one bar now. Possibly.
Well, yeah. I believe there's a bar in the restaurant as well. And if you go to the hotel's website, it gives you like a walking, like 3D rendering of everything. But I believe these are actual photos that he went in and took, or somebody took.
So this to me looks like, if we look at that render, it almost is like this is where that snack bar and that other room were, or that snack counter where you get coffee and like sandwiches.
Yeah, and that would have been still far to the right.
No, I think, well...
Yeah, like the right opening. So yeah. There's the two openings. It would have been maybe the right opening, yeah.
But this gives us hope. Like, there's room to sit and talk again. So, this is pretty cool, everybody. This makes me a little excited to see how it turns out over there. I'll be spilling my old fashioned on one of those yellow chairs Saturday evening. But man, really cool. Thanks, Dave. All right. Say goodbye, Scott.
Goodbye.